where to go, and how's it ever going to get done?
And we're back. You are tuned into the Hour of Power this morning, and it is the most powerful hour of my day. Our guest for today is Pastor Scott Rogers. And his title for today is Broken Yet Beautiful. And you know, if you don't have a home church, Scott Rogers, he's good. I just want to encourage people to take that first step.
I tell people, find you a church. You're always welcome at ours, but mm-hmm. find you a church. Find some. Everybody needs a community of faith. In today's world, you can check them out online before you even go. So check some out. Go, you know, get up and watch a few. Take a few Sundays, watch some, and then pick one. Let the Spirit guide you. But you're always welcome at the church I pastor, but you're welcome in so many churches. There's some great pastors here, especially in this part of Oklahoma. I know quite a few of them, and just, you know, again, would encourage you to do so. So before we ended, I said to you, I used, the verse, Christ died for us while we're yet sinners. And that proves God's love toward us. By the way, just for the record, I think I mentioned 1 Samuel 10. It's actually 1 Samuel 11. I gave you 11. I think 11's in the archive, and I just said 10 by accident, but it is 11, the story of David and Bathsheba. Yeah. But when you look at those two stories, I mean, that's two pretty good broken stories. I mean, I don't know how else to describe it, right? I mean, those two stories have brokenness, broken relationships, broken lives, and you realize pretty quick that consequences are real. See, one of the things that I think happens, and I hear this from people as well, you know, the reason I don't believe in things like forgiveness is that means that, you know, there's just no consequences. No, there are consequences. Adam and Eve lost the garden. David lost a son. David's soul was tormented. Consequences are real things. You don't, you know, just because, you know, there is forgiveness doesn't mean there aren't consequences. I mean, and I think that's a reality we have to deal with. But part of that is knowing that even in the midst of our brokenness, in the midst of consequences, the one constant that remains through all of that is that there's a God who loves us. There is a God who's still there, even in our darkest moments. A God who would still look at you in the mirror. Mm-hmm. A God who would still look at me laying in that ICU bed. A God who looked at Adam and Eve even when they tried to hide from him. A God who didn't turn his back on a man that was after his own heart and yet became an adulterer and murderer in King David. We have a God who always loves us still. Who still loves us. I love it in the Adam and Eve story. Yes, they get kicked out of the garden. And death becomes a reality for humanity. It's not a pretty story. But there's a couple things in there that always catch my attention. The first is, if I was God, I think I'd have just stopped right there. Forget humanity, right? If they can't do one simple thing,
come on.
All I said was, look, everything here is good for you, just not that one tree. But it's like saying, you can have any of these snacks, but don't eat the cookie in the cookie jar. Where are your first thing you're going to go do, right? Humanity has this as our core. It's just part of it, right? But God doesn't give up on them. He doesn't destroy them. He sends them out of the garden. Their life becomes harder. They have to toil the ground, till the ground, right? But there's also this other little funny thing. If you read in Genesis chapter 3, God ends up making them clothes out of skins, which are much softer.
Come on.
Remember the fig leaves? I mean, right? We both kind of cringe when we're talking about the fig leaves, right? God makes them clothing that is more comfortable. You see, God never stopped caring for them. They've made a huge mistake. This is one of those where God said, don't do this. And what did they do? They did that, right? And yet God still was with them. God still loved them. God still took care of them. For David, here's a man again. We first met David back when he was a ruddy little shepherd boy who slew Goliath. The king who would eventually be brought up under King Saul, who would eventually take over when Saul was no longer to be king. The man who conquered Jerusalem, going to be the holy city. A man described over and over as a man after God's own heart, who now becomes an adulterer and a murderer. I think if I was God, I'd have probably given up on David by now. But he doesn't. David, it's an interesting story. David actually repents and is very, very heartbroken when his first son, Bathsheba, dies. And he actually pins, and I mentioned this in the first half of the program, but I mentioned this again. Go back and read Psalm 51. It's one of the most powerful psalms of confession that we have. In fact, in our church, we actually read it every Ash Wednesday. Create in me a clean heart, O God. Renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy spirit, O Lord. Take not thy holy presence from me. David writes that psalm after the death of his son. He cries out to God, create in me a clean heart. Now, does God have to do that? No. Does God have to reinstate David? Does he have to let David stay king? No. Could God have just gone, you know what, David? You're out. Yes. But he doesn't. In fact, David repents and David begins to write psalms, and we get half of our prayer book comes from this, right? And if you know the rest of that story, David and Bathsheba actually have another son. You might know his name. Solomon. Mm-hmm. King Solomon. The last king of the United Kingdom. The last king who actually built the temple. Yeah, not just a temple. The temple in Jerusalem. The first temple was built by King Solomon. The wise one. David had another son. Because if you remember, God made a promise to David that there would always be a Davidic king on the throne in Jerusalem. Now, if God had said there'll always be a Davidic king on the throne in Jerusalem, 2 Samuel chapter 7, oh, but you screwed up, so you're out. That yeah. wouldn't have been a promise God kept, would it? Oh, and by the way, I don't know if you noticed this or not, but by the way, King Solomon ends up being a king, and the line of David continues. But I want to tell you another story. And I want to tell you a story that puts all of this into perspective. Go back for a moment and look at, I know this is going to freak you out, but I think one of the most critical pieces of the New Testament, the genealogies. Some people are like, oh my gosh, Matthew and Luke's genealogies are so long, right? Let me remind you of a couple of characters who show up in the line of Jesus. If you look in Matthew, they trace the line, really trace it through Joseph. You know that Joseph was a descendant of David. Mm-hmm. You see, David is Jesus' great grandfather. The man who was an adulterer and a murderer is actually in the parental line of Jesus. And if you look at Luke, traced through Mary, Mary is a descendant of King David. So either way you trace his human lineage, he is in the house and the line. Remember that line? Remember, it's a very, some people kind of forget about it, but when you read the Christmas story, right, from the house and line of David, that matters because that's part of that promise from 2 Samuel 7, the promise made to David. And if you keep reading in Luke, if you look at the genealogy, it includes King David. Mm-hmm. But if you go back and look even further, it goes all the way back to Adam. Mm-hmm. You see, Jesus comes from a line of broken people. I mean, we could go through his genealogy. There's a lot of broken people in there. Trust me. It'd take a lot. We could go through a whole story on that one. In fact, we'll do a story on that. We'll do a program on that. But if I was thinking about Jesus and I was going to write his genealogy and I was going to, I'd probably clean it up a little. You know what I mean? I don't know if I would include David and Adam, right? I'm not sure that I would do that. They're broken. But you see, the beauty of that is they're broken yet made beautiful by God. God took care of Adam and Eve. Mm-hmm. He clothed them. He sent them out of the garden, but he was with them. David, his son died. David had to repent. He had made a huge and tremendous mistake. And I don't want anybody to come out of this going, oh, you know, well, we just kind of let that go. David made a terrible mistake. He did. Nothing about that is condonable. Nothing. But he still had a God who believed in him, a God who loved him, a God who would continue to empower him. For me, that's hope. That means that even for you and I, even for us, yes, we are broken. And yes, it is not easy to confront that. And no, nobody wants to look in the mirror and see who they really are. But that's how God sees you, and God loves you anyway. God loves you anyway. Christ died for you and for me while, not after, not because we were so good, but while we were yet sinners. That proves God's love toward us. To me, that is the hope that I find during this season. Self-reflection, repentance, those are not easy things. Looking in the mirror, it's not always an easy thing. But my hope is, and it's the reason I'm talking about this now during the Lenten season, is that my hope is that if we are truly honest about our brokenness, we might just realize the true power in God making us beautiful once again. We're getting awfully close now to the death and resurrection of Jesus, the Easter season. And my hope is that when we get to that day and we go through that horrible Good Friday, watching as our Savior is crucified for our sins, our brokenness, our mistakes, that we realize just how beautiful things truly are. Because on the resurrection, Jesus makes all things new.
Amen.
Broken, yet beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
And for me, that's what I take, and that's what I find hope in. I've made my fair share of mistakes. I still make my fair share of mistakes. I'm a sinner in need of God's grace. But we all are. And yeah, we could have a God who wrote us off. But that's not the God that we hear. That's not the God that we know. That's not the God who called each of us out of the darkness and into the light. This God says, you're broken, yet beautiful, because I created you. I know who you can be.
Come on.
I know who you were created to be, and I know who you will be.
Come on.
That's a God who always loves us. Mm-hmm. In spite of every poor decision I've ever made. And trust me, I've made a bunch of them. But we have a God who doesn't give up and who loves us still. We are broken, yet beautiful.
Amen. You're a wrestling fan.
I am, actually.
You know, I want to go back for a minute. I'm going to bring this back out.
All right.
I got married at 15. And some stuff happened. And I ended up separated at 17. Wow. I don't want to go back and live with my mom. I got this. I don't need no help.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I ended up working some clubs in Dallas. And it just, I didn't like it. It wasn't for me. But I felt that it's what I had to do.
Mm-hmm.
And I was sitting backstage in the dressing room. Pretty much naked. My Eve moment, I guess you could say. And I cried out to God. Said, Lord, this isn't the life I want. Lord, I have made a bad mistake. And God, knowing me better than I know me, mm-hmm. He knew that I wanted to be a professional wrestler growing up as a little girl.
Mm-hmm.
That was my little girl, my childlike little girl dream.
Mm-hmm.
You know who the Freebirds are?
Of course. Michael Hayes, Terry Bam Bam Gordy, and Buddy Roberts.
Buddy Roberts.
Yeah.
He sent, the Lord sent, come on now, the Freebirds into that club. Gary Hart sent them out to find a girl, a woman wrestler. Mm-hmm. They were looking for an Indian girl.
They knew what they were.
They
looking
had
for
their marching orders from Gary Hart, so they went out.
Mm-hmm.
And they came into the club, and I came out. And they came up to me and they said, you're just what we're looking for. Be at this arena at this time on this day. Monica and her stinking thinking, oh, that's a setup. That's a setup. No, I ain't going to that. No way. They're pulling my leg. It's a joke. And I wrestled with that. Until the day, and then this little whisper, just go. a whisper. Just go and see. So I went. And that was my exodus. Mm-hmm. That was my exit.
From that part.
Even never in a million years would I think that that's how God is going to get me out of that mess that True. I got myself into.
True.
But that's exactly how he did it. He sent the Freebirds to Monica in a strip club in Dallas because Monica didn't want that lifestyle. And I confessed, Lord, I made a mistake. I ain't got this. Lord, I need help. God, get me out of this, please. Mm-hmm. I was desperate. And I was hurting. But my sweet Lord, my sweet, sweet Creator, sent not just one wrestler.
Three.
He sent the free birds to free Monica. Come on. I can't make this up if I tried. Come on.
No, you can't. No, you can't.
That is the love of the Lord.
Yeah.
He don't care where you've at, how you've got there, whether you got yourself there or it's a pile of several things from the outside. It could be a combination. It don't matter. You're focusing on the wrong thing. Mm-hmm. Focus on the love of the Lord. Put your hands up. Lord, I messed it up.
Yeah. And just think about that for a second. I know we're about to run out. We're running over a little bit, but I want you to think about that for a second. That 17-year-old girl who was in a place she didn't want to be, doing things she didn't want to do, didn't know what was next, probably felt about as broken as you can feel. Who would have thought that a few years later, that young 17-year-old girl would grow up to be the host and the co-host of a Christian radio program, internet radio program, who goes and speaks the truth of God to people in multiple places in many situations. You see, that to me, that is the story Come of on. Redemption and the story of Broken Yet Beautiful, is that God knew more about you than you knew about yourself. I would say that about myself. I was telling my story. You're telling yours. That's what I want and hope people take from today's program is – We can't always see.
Come on.
What's really there. But we have a God who loves us enough to help us get there. Mm-hmm. And that's what matters.
Amen. 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 And you know, I want to add this too. I don't know about all y'all, but Monica's been in a storm recently. Here we go again. Mm-hmm. We'll push that back down there. I really want y'all to get this. Mm-hmm. I've been in a battle. And these thoughts started trying to come back. Well, you know, you deserve to go get you a fifth of Fireball. It'll be okay. Just one little fifth won't hurt you. Nope. I know that path. I've been down that path. And in the name of Jesus, I rebuke that.
Amen.
Lord, I don't like these thoughts. I know they ain't from you. So in the name of Jesus, I rebuke them and send them back to the enemy's camp. Mm. Nope.
Amen. It's a constant battle.
Come on.
But we don't fight alone.
Amen. You know, and that's who. When you receive the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, hear me. Hear me, please hear me. I feel your heart breaking. I can feel it. I feel it. I don't know who it's for, and I don't need to know. If you have received the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, the Lord of your life, when you enter that battle, when you step into that ring, you stepping in victory. Mm-hmm. Because it's already been won. Jesus has already won it for us. Get to know who he is. Get to know the character of our God. Mm-hmm. The true, yes sir, the true character of our Creator.
Amen.
And the one he sent to save you, redeem you, bring you back into a right relationship with God.
Amen.
You have been tuned into the Hour of Power this morning, and it is the most powerful hour of my day. From myself, Monica Lovell, from the beautiful Miss Neva Pyatt, and from our brother and pastor, Scott Rogers. Y'all have a blessed day, and we will see you tomorrow.
Let us pray, let us pray.
We hope today's edition of the Hour of Power has been encouraging and uplifting for you and your family. If you have a prayer request you would like to send after the program, email us at hourofpower@cableone.net. You're listening to a broadcast produced daily, Monday through Friday at 9 a.m. on therockchristianmusic.com. Download the app. It's called The Rock Christian Music, and take us with you everywhere.